lady who covers the 76ers for NBC Sports Philadelphia is on our Comcast Business Hotline. I frankly don't know what to ask her, but I guess let's bring her in, Jessica Camerato. Jessica, I don't know. What do you think the mindset of this team is tonight? Are they like one of those blow up things that you just tip over, or do they have any fight left? I really don't know. I can't tell. To me, they got their heart carved out. I don't think they would have anything left. What do you think?
The team is taking it with the approach of, all right, not like we have to go win four games in order to stay alive in the playoffs. They're looking at it as take it quarter by quarter, you know, possession by possession. They understand it's a daunting task. I mean, the numbers are there. Everybody knows historically what's happened in the past when a team is down 0-3. I'd say one thing if they're on the road, but they are at home, so there definitely is something to fight for. I think when you're down in a series and you're playing on your home court, there's like an extra sense of pride there. So everybody was staying calm about it. I mean, nobody was freaking out at practice or after the game. They were just saying, take it quarter by quarter.
All right, so what is your overall take in this series? They've lost these games in every conceivable way. You know, it's amazing to me. You know, they blew the big lead in game two. This was the turnovers and then when they needed plays being made. I don't know what to think. What has Boston done to this team?
Well, Boston has done basically everything they need to do against this team. And as you talked about, it's not just one specific thing. They're so crafty. They're so clever on offense and on defense. I mean, it wasn't like they've just limited one player. You see what they've been doing to Ben Simmons by rotating different kinds of players. They're stifling the three-point shooters. So guys like J.J. Redick and Marco Bellinelli, they're not getting the looks that they were used to getting. And then Embiid said yesterday that they're making him think. Their defense is making them think because they're throwing so many different looks at them. Then you take it on the flip side of the Celtics offense. It has a lot of really feisty young guys that are playing fearless basketball right now, not afraid to come up with big shots. And then you throw in Al Horford. I mean, I feel like the list is going on and on, but when you look at this series, it's not one key thing the Celtics are doing. It's a myriad of problems they're throwing at the Sixers.
Yeah, they figured them out. There's no question. They made them look unathletic, and they realize they're one-dimensional, which is they're a three-point shooting team. They don't have a medium-range game, which leads me to my next question. I thought Brett Brown at 2-0, we come to the conclusion that, you know what, Boston's better than us. We need a new infection of energy and juice. So I got a couple athletes on the bench. Maybe I have to play them. I don't like them. I don't trust them. But maybe I have to play them. I'm not talking about it. The Holmes, the Justin Andersons, the Fultzes. At least Fultz would give you a little medium range game. Why didn't he go to any of them?
Well, with Anderson in particular, he addressed Anderson particularly yesterday, and he said it's because he wants to have shooters on the court. So when he turns to the bench and he can put in Anderson or he can put in Bellinelli or Ilyasova, he's going with the other guys because he's just trying to stack the court with offense. So that's the reason. But I agree with you. I mean, somebody like Justin Anderson, we talked about this the other day, he can provide an offensive spark. The full thing, you say, well, whose minutes does he start to take away from? Simmons or TJ McConnell? I think McConnell should be, you know, continuing to get extra minutes in this series, but the Anderson thing has been the most curious of all of those names that you mentioned.
Yeah, but Fultz to me is like, it's like, okay, maybe you can explain this to me. He trusted him against Miami because he had a good part. You know, he had several good games towards the end of the season. He trusted him against Miami, and two games the kid looked scared, so he doesn't trust him from this point on. Now, is that Brett's fault or is that Fultz's fault?
I think it's a matter of the Fultz that it's a matter of Fultz has not played a lot of NBA basketball. And you're saying to a player, you barely played at all during the regular season, and now come out here and be able to handle the playoffs, handle all the physicality, all these different situations, these high pressure situations out there. TJ McConnell in this situation is better suited for that. So it's a tricky situation with Fultz with the timing of everything. If he had played all season, I think this would have been completely different, but I mean, he came back. There was like a minute left of the regular season before the playoffs.
Yeah, I get it, but it's either that or you don't have athletes on the floor. And at this point, you got. I think you need athletes to contend with this team, which shows you athletes. I think you've got to fight athletes with athletes. And Fultz is at least an athlete. I get what you're saying. I just think it's a miscalculation. But let's move on to Robert Covington, because you were there when he said he's not struggling, shots just aren't going in. Can you make sense of that for me?
All right, so this is Robert Covington's mindset, right? We've seen him slump before. He's been a streaky offensive player for forever now. He never takes the mentality of like, well, if I shot 0 for 4, if I shot 0 for 10, that, you know, I'm in trouble here and I'm never going to be able to bounce out of that. He lets the criticism go in one ear, out the other. I mean, if you're a player like this that's had so many ups and downs, if you let all of that criticism seep in throughout your whole career, you're going to have a lot of problems there. So he just brushes everything off and just takes it with, all right, well, then the next game, I'm going to bounce back. He looks at game two where he played well, and then game three looks at more of like an anomaly. But, yeah, he was missing open shots, but he's like, all right, well, I'll just get him the next time.
All right, and I know you have to be a professional, but see, that might a chuckle might have come out of me there, and I would have probably been thrown out of practice. But come on, seriously? I get it. Listen, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but
the thing is, this isn't the first time that we've heard this attitude from mm-hmm. Covington. I mean, while being inconsistent with his shot at times, he is very consistent with his mindset. So what he said there was nothing that he hasn't said before during the regular season.
All right. What's up with Ben Simmons? His confidence to me has been cracked a little bit, even though he made a couple jump shots in the game. But, you know, the inbounds pass is careless. The mindset on flipping that ball back up to the basket after the miss by Embiid. Well, has he been rattled in this series?
This has been a big learning experience for Ben Simmons, because I asked him that question, what have you learned about yourself in the playoffs? And he said, I learned that I have a lot of growing to do. And I think that's very telling for a player who has made an impact on the NBA by just staying really calm and cool and collected and unfazed by the pressures. So now that he's acknowledging that, I mean, the Celtics have figured out ways to limit him. They've limited his looks in the passing lane and really forced him to shoot. The thing about Simmons and all of this is I would like him to be more aggressive to the basket. So he doesn't have a jumper. He's not going to be this long range shooter, but when he drives the basket, he has size and physicality, and the same with Embiid, to cause matchup problems and draw foul trouble. And if the two of them would attack the basket and try to get the Celtics bigs in trouble, you saw Aaron Baines pick up fouls the other night, they could really make a dent there. Even if Simmons is not able to knock down all of his three-point shots, still get those Celtics players in foul trouble.
All right, last question. What are your feelings? We're talking to Jessica Camerato, who covers the Sixers for, obviously, NBC Sports Philadelphia. What is your feeling about the way Brett Brown has coached in this series?
There are plays that, you know, we're going to look back on this series and say, should this have happened? How would things have been differently? And like we talked about Ben Simmons a minute ago, with this being a learning experience, I think it's also a learning experience for Brett Brown, too. I mean, and he's also going up against Brad Stevens, who is a ridiculous coach in the playoffs, just in terms of all of the things that he can throw out there. So, yeah, looking back on this, there's a lot of situations where you're going to wonder and say, well, if this had happened, you know, you talk about like the timeout. If this has happened, could things have changed here? Overall, it's not just Brett Brown. I think this whole team, just a big learning experience for everybody.
All right, Jessica Camerato, do they win tonight? You're feeling it?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to say they can pull it off at home.
Okay.
Like I said, it's a pride issue. You don't want to get swept on your home floor.
So you got one more trip to Boston.